Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 5th of June, Election Day in the state of Wisconsin. Today we vote, and tomorrow on many of our programs we'll talk about what we did today. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, Mike Ushay, who is at Marquette University and does a lot of wonderful programs. He moderated the debate last Thursday, the gubernatorial debate. He will be with us, and we'll have other guests as well, analyzing what we did today. One more announcement before we meet our guests for the first hour of the program. We were yesterday talking about the honor flight that Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers were honored to be a part of this last Saturday, taking World War II veterans, over 220 of them, to Washington, D.C., to the World War II Memorial and other memorials, also to Arlington Cemetery, the incredible reception they received when they returned to Mitchell Field. Rhonda spent a good chunk of yesterday putting beautiful pictures on our Facebook page, and I would recommend that you look at those, and you can do that by going to the Kathleen Dunn Show. There's the Facebook page, and it's really something to behold. Hour two of our program today, Frank DeFord will join us. Do you know that Frank has been doing commentary on NPR since 1979? A long time. He's on Wednesdays. He has written a very interesting book about his life as a sports writer. Over Time is the name of the book, and Frank will join us hour two of our program. All right, here we go with hour number one. It wasn't all that long ago that Milwaukee was known as a manufacturing center. And now, perhaps, we're going to reinvent what Milwaukee is known for. There is an absolutely wonderfully inventive conference, gathering of innovators and people who have money to help those innovators, and bands, and just all kinds of people who will be in Milwaukee this week celebrating innovation in Milwaukee. Mike, M-I-K-E, is the name of the conference. It's an exhibition of the talent in the region and the contributions to the local economy in the areas of design, innovation, and technology. And it's amazing what's going on in this area right here in the city of Milwaukee. This is something that will involve high school students, college entrepreneurs. I understand there are people coming from foreign countries to pitch their ideas with venture capitalists and corporations, a connection of startup businesses with venture capitalists and corporations. And we have two people who are very much involved in planning this hour of the program, and will talk to us about the new vision of Milwaukee. What are we going to be in 2012 and beyond? Julia Taylor is president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee. She has been in that position for quite some time, appointed as the first woman president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee in 2002. That committee fosters public-private partnerships, is a catalyst for economic revitalization. Before that, she was president of the YWCA of Greater Milwaukee for some 16 years. Julia, always a pleasure to see you. Good
Kathleen,
morning.
It's great to see you again.
Yeah, you've already been to the polls. You have your voting.
I have, yeah. Early. I'm number 54, so the turnout's pretty brisk.
I think the turnout is going to be brisk all over the state from the reports that we've heard today. Well, thank you for being with us. Also joining us in our studios here in Milwaukee is Angela Damiani. She is vice president of Art Milwaukee, one of the organizations that is sponsoring this and is heavily involved. And we should say also that she was involved in, I guess you could call it a startup business when you're still very young, but when you're very young, right?
That's right.
This is a wonderful idea, and I think it's something that's way under the radar. I have no idea that all of this was very much rolling in the city of Milwaukee right now. So let's just start with the idea. What is it exactly that's going to be taking place over the next few days in Milwaukee? Who are you bringing together to really change the direction of the city, if I'm not too bold here?
Well, actually, we're bringing a lot of different people together, and you're right. A lot of the innovation's already occurring in this community, and it's occurring with small groups of people, startup companies, but we also have a lot of large global innovative companies that are very interested in making those connections. So part of this week is really to put a brand on Milwaukee as being an innovative city and a place that is going to be attractive to people who want to be a part of that whole innovative curve.
Exactly. And this is the first tangible output that I think the public will be aware of the Mike Initiative, Innovation in Milwaukee, that's an economic development initiative of the Greater Milwaukee Committee. And the way that Mike has functioned since the fall of 2011 is it brings together to the table the groundswell of different tech startups and entrepreneurs that are thriving, that are able to start a business, find capital funds here, as well as all of the different corporations and the universities as well, because there is talent being created here, and we're trying to retain that talent, develop it so that the city can be known nationally and globally as an innovative hub.
Tell me, Angela, about the business that you started.
Oh, I started a PR company that was merged into something called Clever, which is an interactive marketing agency, and it uses different community organizations like Milwaukee, which centers on young professional development, and Art Milwaukee, which brings together all of the different arts organizations to try to create a new way to have the arts drive the economy to better the city.
Mm-hmm. When you think about branding Milwaukee for a whole new century, Julia, it has undergone so many changes. Manufacturing is no longer here. It's in foreign countries in many ways. What do you, when you're just brainstorming and thinking about what you would like to see here 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what would the image be? How would it change?
Well, I think what we would see here would be actually growth in some of our existing companies, but we'd also see a lot of new companies coming up. If you look at the large global companies we have here, they were startups themselves 100 years ago. Mm. I mean, if you look at Milwaukee around the Florida Yards area, that was an incubator for companies here in Milwaukee at that time. And we also had companies that changed. If you look, Falk Corporation used to be a brewery. You know, we had companies, A. O. Smith did buggy whips, and look at where they've gone to. So our companies have innovated and changed. But what we need to have occur here is fresh ideas that occur that are valuable to consumers, that are valuable to B2B products. And so the ability to take the startups and say, okay, here are some great business challenges you can solve. You can have customers from the get-go. And we have these large companies that are hungry for this type of talent, that for this type of fresh idea, breakthrough thinking. So really what we're doing is taking what we have and connecting the dots. Brookings Institute has a great saying about clusters, that the best clusters are never created, they're discovered. Mm. And that's what we're doing. Well, that's what we've done here is we're shining a light on core assets we already have and legacy pieces that we have, and we're connecting the dots to make something much greater than its parts.
Hmm. So who's going to come to the table?
Well, we have everyone on board. We actually have over 50 different organizations, large and small, that are coming together for this. We have Marquette University, UWM on the university front. We have Kohl's that's participating, Miller Coors, Harley-Davidson, the big corporate names, as well as a bunch of the local startups. So we have Shindig, which is a crowd-powered event booking platform that you use on your mobile device. We have Tapper, which is brand new in its alpha state. It allows you to order a drink from a bar through your phone.
An
important thing in Milwaukee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have, and the keystone event is something called the Common Pitch, which is a global brand that sort of has a spin on the idea of an entrepreneurship pitch, which is traditionally very staunch and involves, you know, prolonged sitting and listening and explanation of how a business model would work. And what they've been able to do on an international level is allow entrepreneurs to feel like a rock star that they actually are and engage with the community in a totally, completely new way. Overall, I think it's an honor that we have Common here, but what we're really trying to do with this week is pitch Milwaukee to the globe to show that beyond the tech startups, beyond the companies, beyond all of that, we have a culture and a lifestyle that is ready and willing and attractive to the talent that the region really needs. And so we're hoping that by showcasing all of these different things, by bringing everyone together, the artists and the startups and the corporations were able to exalt that in a completely new way.
Hmm. And what do we have that people would find attractive here, Julia?
Well, I think a lot of it's the people. That's the secret sauce. And the other thing that I think is interesting in working with a lot of the young talent that's been involved in the startups is just kind of the way a lot of us look at problems. They tend to look at it as a resource. You know, I'll take the Grand Avenue Mall, which has been struggling with its occupancy and its vision for a long time. And a year ago, almost this week, a number of young companies like Art Milwaukee and Newaukee and Clever.
Sprinkler.
They all moved into the Grand Avenue Mall because they saw it as this fairly interesting, inexpensive space that they could form a community around. So if you go into the mall now, particularly in the Plankinton Arcade area, it's pretty full, and it's full of a lot of different type of energy. Like I say, there's new brands in the mall these days. Mm-hmm. And they're not brands that are readily recognized at this point, but I think they are becoming more recognized.
Well, that's good to hear. We're right across the street, as you know.
Right.
Even across the street from Grand Avenue Mall. And unfortunately, we've seen businesses leave over the past few years, and it's wonderful to see that these kinds of companies are starting up there. So people can come to this event. If you had a really terrific idea for some kind of business, you could come to this event and pitch it to somebody?
Exactly. The theme of this common pitch, which will happen on Thursday, June 7th at Turner Hall, is America's Industries. How can we innovate America's industries? And so there was a global call out for the best ideas, and there were over, I would say, about 100 that submitted, and 8 of them were selected to get on stage. And we are bringing in someone actually from Chile as well. So there are people coming from all over the country as well as Chile. And we do have 2 startups that are Milwaukee-based as well. And they range. Some of them are different ways to use, like, auto mechanics. Some of them are, one's an underwear company. They make underwear 100% in the United States. Even the cotton's grown here. One of them is trying to innovate the marital therapy industry. So helping couples reconnect.
Brighter 12 for when you use Tapper too much.
I know. Brighter 12 is the innovate the different 12-step model that there is. As well, and the thing that differentiates us, we're actually the fourth city Milwaukee is that common pitches occurred in. It was in Colorado and Boulder. It was in Brooklyn, New York, and then it was in South Africa before this. So it's a big honor that they're here. And the thing that's going to set ours apart beyond the music and the artists that will be infused into the night, is that we are allowing a high school and a college team to get up and pitch their idea, too. And so Wednesday night is the real kickoff for the week. Tomorrow night at the Grand Avenue Mall in the open mic space, we have about a dozen different teams that are going to get up of our local talented youth and pitch their idea about innovating America's industries.
Youth just graduating from college who may find a great job as a result of this.
They may. Mm-hmm. They may.
That would be wonderful, wouldn't mm-hmm. it? And who judged these 8? Who looked at who were the winners?
Common and our team here in Milwaukee picked out the 8. And then on the night of, there's a panel of local celebrity judges. We have people from Johnson Controls. We have the executive director from Discovery World. A variety of different people locally that are known for their edge on innovation, because innovation covers a lot of different industries. And so it's a very varied panel. And they'll each give a 3-minute rundown and critique to decide who wins the $30,000 in cash and prizes at the end of the night. And the high school and college kids are being judged as well that night. So they have just as much opportunity to win as the established startups.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, Julia, how the city has changed in the last 5 years or however many years it's been in terms of these new kinds of companies, in terms of companies that we've never thought of before, these new startup, innovative kinds of programs. Where did they spring up? Where are they? Are they all over the city? And are we too early to say that we've given Milwaukee a new stamp at this point?
Well, actually, it's been going on here for quite a while. If you look at Bucket Works, which was probably one of the first kind of co-working spaces that started up about, actually, they're having their 10th year anniversary this week. But what they were able to do, I think, was create that common space for people to come together. Since then, we've identified about 30 type of co-working spaces of all types across the city. And actually, we're going to have a tour of those on Friday night, a collaborative workshop tour. And it will also include Johnson Controls' new innovation center that they're opening up in the Third Ward, which is, I think, another mark that innovation is happening here. But these types of spaces like Open Mic and Bucket Works have become a seating area for startups to come together. Because what people are looking for aren't people's typical concepts of incubators with little offices. They're looking for open space generally what they're looking for there is more the support of other people that can bring ideas together and contacts and capital. And so the one gap we have in the city right now is that we don't really have a dedicated seed fund for early seed lean startups. And that's something that my group is going to be moving on in the next year, is how do we start to grow, you know, a fund of $1 million or so that would allow companies that these little early startups of two or three people that, you know, generally all they need is like $30,000 to get going, to get a bunch of those going. And, you know, if even 10% of them make it to the next stage, you've still taken a lot of young talent through the whole concept of different types of critical thinking and connections. And I often bring up to people within the GMC that, you know, everybody's heard of Instagram that sold for $1 billion to Facebook, but they didn't hear of Bourbon, which was the company that the 27-year-old that sold IG to Facebook started 2 years before that. And this is part of this iterative process, I think, in the startup field, is that you try a lot of different things and eventually something sticks. And so part of it's going to be a cultural shift here, too, that it's okay to iterate and it's okay to try different things. And if it's a low capital thing to start with, it's okay if it doesn't work. You take what you learn from it and you move to the next idea.
And where do you get the seed money?
Seed money, we think, could come from corporations, from foundations, from individual investors that want to look at this almost as a charitable thing, of really helping to grow this aspect of the very early stage of entrepreneurship in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And we work a lot with BizStarts, and we started to help get BizStarts off the ground 5 years ago. And, you know, and we see other cluster pieces like the Water Council as being an important feeding ground into this concept of innovation as well. So I see a lot of things starting to come together in Milwaukee that is very dynamic and really exciting.
And you mentioned BucketWorks for people who are listening all over the state. What is BucketWorks?
BucketWorks is a collaborative co-working space that is actually down in the Fifth Ward right now. And it's been in different iterations over the last 10 years, but it's brought a lot of different people together. But it also, I think, was one of the first groups out there in that very early seed stage piece, a place for people to come together with their ideas. And there are other places like Milwaukee Makerspaces, which is, you know, where a lot of engineers and people that like to build things in their garage get together, and they got all the tools there, and they hack things, and they take them apart and make them, you know, and it's fascinating. But that's where real ideas come from, too.
I wish I knew how to do all of that, don't you?
Maybe
you do.
No,
how
I don't.
How things work, you know?
Well,
how
you could join the Makerspace, and they'll be there. They'll show you.
They'll teach us,
yeah. Here we go.
Small membership fee.
Right. We'll be welcoming phone calls, and we'll take them in a moment. We're talking about this really extraordinary event taking place all this week. It's for those of you who have, and I'm sure there are many in this audience, really big ideas, and you're looking for venture capital, you're looking to start up a business and do it not on a huge scale, but on a smaller scale. And as we've seen all over the world, sometimes what you need is just a little money to get, and a great idea, to get yourself rolling in a something that you will thoroughly enjoy. It also is part of kind of a change in the city of Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee known for heavy manufacturing for a long time, and that's not the case anymore. So what is it now? We do have in the city a large design technology space, and so slowly and maybe more quickly as a result of this event, we may be moving into more of that kind of employment and innovative work. Milwaukee Innovation Week begins actually
Tomorrow.
More than 40 businesses, educational institutions will have a series of events. We'll give you an email address or Facebook page so that you can find out what the rundown is for the entire week as well. Two guests with us. Julia Taylor is president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee, and Angela Damiani is vice president of Art Milwaukee. Here is our phone number, 800-486-8655. We ask you listening about your innovative idea. We should get some interesting calls. Maybe you're a part of a startup that would be interesting to hear about. Or you can email us or give us a call, 800-486-8655. Talk at WPR.org. is the email address, or you can post on our Facebook page as well, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And the pictures from the Honor Flight are also on that Facebook page, and they're just beautiful. To you in a moment, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, Frank DeFord will be joining us, the humorous and highly literate sports writer. His new book is Overtime, My Life as a Sports Writer. Today we're voting, of course, in the state of Wisconsin. And tomorrow we'll be talking about what we did. Joy Cardine will have 3 hours of coverage tomorrow. We'll be talking about it at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Mike Goucher will be one of our guests. And just a reminder that we do really terrific election coverage. So tonight, starting at 8, we have reporters, terrific reporters all over the state who have been covering these issues for a long time. So if you're looking for a home for your election coverage, why don't you come here starting at 8 o'clock tonight. To your phone calls, Mary is our first caller in Wauwatosa. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you? I'm one of your dedicated fans, Kathleen, and I listen to you religiously.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, my question is where does the community of Milwaukee fit in? Where did the people who are less educated, the unemployed vets, male and female, where did they come to the table on this? Because they don't have the resources, they don't have the energy, they're doing maybe two and three jobs, or they don't or they're living under the bridge. They need to be part of the whole piece, so they are supporting this redevelopment of the city. I have lived here since 76, and I've seen, too appallingly, this city almost breaking apart. And the only way I see the city coming together, if we're going to draw anybody in, is to have everyone working together, right down to every city and avenue, every community pulling together. And whether it's from kindergarten on up, everyone should be stimulated to bring new ideas.
Julia,
yeah, no,
that to you.
That's a great question. And I think it starts actually early. And there's a project in Open Mic called Lead to Succeed, which is an incredible project where they're working with high schoolers and introducing them to the startup concept. So there's one that I'm well aware of that's actually been getting flavor barrels from Miller Brewing, and they're making rain barrels from those and
that's a great idea.
Repackaging them and selling them throughout the city. And what was fascinating was they were starting to meet with engineers on ways to repackage these rain barrels where they're more collapsible so they could sell them nationwide. And so when you see young people that are coming, not always, you know, they're coming from poor economic backgrounds, but at the high school level, they're seeing how you apply math, they're seeing how you apply science, they're seeing how you can apply business concepts, and they're creating something really viable. It's super exciting. So we want to make sure that we have more opportunities like that. I think there's about 11 teams operating right now around those different business ideas, and there's probably about 10 or 11 kids in each team. So it's not a big number. But we've also had discussions with Milwaukee Public Schools about putting a college access center in at the mall. I think that that would be a great way of getting more traffic in of kids to see what the potential could be. We've had discussions with some of the like the Boys and Girls Clubs and other groups about tying in with that. And then we've been working with Radonna Rogers as well. It's done a lot of work with entrepreneurship with inner city kids over the years. So there's a lot of pieces that, you know, we've been at this for about 9 months now. We opened September 6th. So a big part of what we've been doing is making those types of community connections so that we can grow this. Because you're absolutely right. It's got to be widespread to work. Everybody's got to be able to find a place to stand on the platform. And that's actually, I think, an approach that we've been using broadly on this is if you got an idea, come to the table.
Mm-hmm.
There's room at the table.
We have a lot of veterans who are either still healing or they're just, there's no employment for them. And yet these are young men and women. They're highly educated. You cannot function in our military without being technically so far advanced in their maybe 19, 20, 24. And they have the energy and they could create, but there is no position. And yet these folks could come in and bring some ideas, but they need to have a place, you know, to gather. And those are, I think that's a really missing energy part, too. That is the it's an asset being wasted.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, there is a great resource here that's, again, it's under the radar screen called Vet Transfer. And it's been nationally recognized. They were just at the White House getting recognized about 2 months ago. And they're over in the Blatt's building. But they are basically an incubator for vets, and they've had incredible success. I don't know what their numbers are now. When they were in the mall earlier, they were over 100 business startups in less than a year. And, you know, that would probably be a good program for you sometime, Kathleen.
Brett was writing this down,
to get them here.
Exactly.
Because they're getting national, international recognition
Isn't
for their programming.
Great?
It's really exciting. They're part of the White House's Startup America program.
Oh. Somehow we need to find a place where we know about all the good things that are going on, don't we?
Hang around the mall.
I'll go to the mall after this show. Okay.
Follow what Mike's doing.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mary, so much for your call. It was a good one. Thanks for listening. Lee is next in Milwaukee. Hi, Lee.
Yes, hello. First off, I'd like to thank the NPR for doing this. This is one of the reasons why I do contribute every year when I can. I truly appreciate shows like this because they're very inspirational and informative. My question is that I'm a truck driver. I'm in my 30s. I really don't have a lot of savings, but I've been having some ideas lately on that's like an innovative idea. And I've been wondering where do I go to try to produce an idea like this, because I don't have the money to actually do it myself. I've done some preliminary testing, but I don't really have any funds to like build the machinery and stuff that I would need to actually, you know, make a prototype.
Yeah, I think actually the position you're in is a position a lot of people are in, and there are two places I would suggest you go. One is BizStarts, which actually is also in the mall and has an office in the Sprinklr offices. But Sprinklr or Open Mic, any of those, it's kind of a everybody works together in those spaces, and I think they are, if you went over there, be glad to help you out. I don't have the phone number for Sprinklr on me right now, but if you wanted to call the GMC, we could get you that number. It's 272-0588.
0588-272-0558. Did you get that, Lee?
0588.
Well, and the other thing, too, is Mike has a free membership right now. If you were to come at noon any Friday, you can take a tour of the space and potentially become a member, and then you would have access to all of these different collaborative entities that would be able to help you develop your idea and find the resources you need to build that prototype.
Yeah. Okay. I hope that's helpful, Lee. It's encouraging, and you know there are all kinds of people listening who have had a great idea. We all, at some point in our lives say, oh, this is a great, oh, so sorry, I bumped the table.
<It's good. laughs>
This is a great idea. I want to do something with it, and then we just let it go. If we all were able to carry through, or most of us, on our great ideas, by golly, the world would be a better place, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and it's simple ideas, too. I think sometimes those are, you know, we've been talking about what really is innovation. How do you define innovation? And one of the best expressions I've heard about it is that it really redefines the human experience. That is true innovation. When you think about things like the iPhone or whatever and how it's intuitively changed the way we think about telephonics and everything else, that's innovation. So when you think about innovation in the past here, I mean, we were in many ways the, you know, breeding ground for industrial design. You know, Brooke Stevens is an iconic hero. Mm-hmm. And actually, Brooke Stevens' company is a part of Mike. They're on the Mike Council.
Oh.
But, you know, I love the story about years ago when they went to Brooke Stevens and Miller was introducing light beer. And they said, we got to do some kind of branding or some idea to make this take off. And he said, put it in a clear bottle. You know, it's a simple idea, but that concept about moving away from the heavy brown bottle to light, right. You know, for light beer. It's those are the types of ideas sometimes that we don't have enough of, and we need to find a way to have, I think, places like Open Mic and Bucket Works and other places where people can come with those ideas and get a chance to incubate them and iterate them.
And what about that whole process of thinking of a new idea? I mean, how do we get that? Are people just sort of born with a curiosity, or do schools develop that kind of curiosity that can move you to start a line of work that will be something that will make you excited every day you go to work? How do we foster innovation?
Well, I think it's a natural thing. I think every human has the ability to create. I mean, give a 2-year-old a set of crayons, they're going to start drawing and innovating across the world. But I think you have to surround yourself by communities that really allow you to be innovative. I think about the new innovation center at Johnson Controls, and what they're doing there is infusing innovation across every single department, not simply the design and the manufacturing, but every one of their HR professionals and their accounting professionals will go through that center and learn to think about how their contribution to the whole of that enormous corporation can think innovatively and bring that sort of filter to their day-to-day tasks. Mm. And I think we need, as a community and as a society, to foster that in order for those new ideas to really take hold and become something substantial.
Let's go to Lois in West Dallas. Hi, Lois.
Hello. I'm so pleased to hear your program this morning. I'm involved with a nonprofit group that has lost its municipal funding and our funding through Time Warner Cable through changes in various laws and budget cuts. I am involved with Channel 14, the public access television station in West Dallas, and we've recently merged with New Berlin, so we cover West Dallas and New Berlin. And we are running out of funds. We've been in business as a nonprofit for 30 years. We had, for example, last year we produced over 200 shows. We are on all day long, 24 hours a day. And we operate with just one paid staff person, and all of the rest of us, from producers to camera people and sound people, are all volunteers. We will be out of money very shortly, and we're looking for emergency funding, and I was hoping you could point us in the right direction.
Julia, can you point her in the right direction?
It would be basically, I would think, foundations or other areas that are interested in having public ideas expressed. I don't have any at the top of my head right now, but I think that would be the route to go.
Would the conference that you're having be beneficial to her in any way?
Well, there would be different people there to meet. I don't know what your content is. It would be interesting if you ever thought about doing putting a spotlight on some of the young innovators and, well, all-age innovators in the community as a way of letting people be able to talk about their ideas.
Yeah.
Maybe a different focus on that. That doesn't help you necessarily with the funding concept, but sometimes reimagining ourselves can be very helpful.
Right.
May I ask a question, however? Foundations that we have been contacting have already granted their funding for this year, and we will be running out of money within a month or two.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll want to attend some of what's going on this week, and you might meet somebody who thinks you have a splendid idea, and they happen to have some money to help you along. It's worth it.
It's not only showcasing people in the arts and people who, we have some religious programming. We have, I'm a very new producer, so I'm not certain about all of the different programs, but we do veterans things. We do things about women and violence. We promote the arts in general. Let me see.
Well, let's get an address or an email address so we can get more information about for her, so she can go to the parts of the conference. Is there a list somewhere?
Well, there is a list on innovationinmilwaukee.com.
Innovationinmilwaukee.com.
And we have the lineup and all the descriptions and the different locations
Great.
On that website okay. for the whole week.
Wonderful. InnovationInMilwaukee.com. Good luck to you, Lois. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org. And our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're talking about this wonderful week taking place in Milwaukee. It starts tomorrow. Milwaukee Innovation Week. It's an exhibition of people who have terrific ideas, great talent, and who are making contributions that many of them we don't really know very much about. So we'll learn more about it. But if you have a great idea, you may want to attend some of this. It's in the areas of design, innovation, and technology. It's bringing together those who have great ideas with venture capitalists and with corporations. So it's good. It's a good idea. It's inspirational. And you can find out all about it at innovationinmilwaukee.com. We have two guests with us in our studios in Milwaukee. Angela Damiani is Vice President of Art Milwaukee. Julia Taylor is the longtime president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee. More phone calls momentarily. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, hour two of our program today, Frank DeFord will join us. I don't know about you, but I whenever he's on the radio, I stop what I'm doing and listen to him because he uses words so beautifully, and he's kind of an outside-of-the-box reporter, sports reporter. And he's written a book, his first memoir. He's written a lot of books. This is his first memoir, Over Time, My Life as a Sports Writer. Three more things to tell you about. Today, of course, is Election Day. The results will be on our air starting at 8 o'clock tonight. If we also have this website that Wisconsin Public Television and Radio have put together that has blogs and information about where you need to go to vote today. It's wisconsinvote.org. It's a valuable website to know about. So, and then thirdly, if it is thirdly, I want to say that tomorrow we'll be having a lot of coverage of what we did today. All eyes are on Wisconsin today. Tomorrow, Joy Cardine will have 3 hours of analysis. We will do the first hour of our program today. We know for sure Mike Goucher will be one of our guests, and we're working on other guests, so that will be at our 9 o'clock hour. Back to phone calls for this wonderful Mike Innovation in Milwaukee event, which starts tomorrow. And Reed in Clintonville is our next caller. Hi, Reed.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Just a couple of things. First, to explain where I'm coming from, I am a vet, and a couple of calls back, there was a woman touting the great innovation and creativity of veterans. But I would like to say that there is no greater innovation or creativity among veterans than there is among the general populace. And we're all human beings, and we all have our special skills and abilities. And to single out veterans as unique among that population is doing a disservice, I think, both to them and to the general populace that supports them.
I think vets, though, have more problems with homelessness, with substance abuse, with finding employment. They've been through hell. And it behooves us, I think, to be able to take care of our vets.
Well, and I think veterans as well are often exposed to more technology and opportunities for decision making than many of us are at an earlier age. So they're in Israel. I mean, we've Startup Nation is a great book about entrepreneurship and how in Israel, they transformed themselves over a 25-year period to a real hotbed of entrepreneurship. And their army over there is a core part of that. They actually, because people they have required service in the army for 4 years. After they're out is when they go to college. But they go out of it often with a lot of contacts and innovation, and they're expected to go into business or to form companies. And a lot of it comes directly out of their service time there, and the opportunities are given. And I think we miss a big asset here when we don't look at people coming out with that skill set and we don't figure out how to connect them up to where innovation could occur.
What's the name of that book? Startup Nation.
It's actually called Startup Nation. It's about Israel.
Hmm. Oh, you're just a wealth of potential shows here today.
Well, one other book that people yes. should be aware of is one that by Joan Allaire called Imagine, and it just came out maybe 3 months ago.
Oh.
But it's really a great book about creativity and innovation uh-huh. and how it doesn't – some people are not just born with it. You actually develop it as a skill set. And so I would suggest if you have a chance to read, it's in story form too. So it's a really fun, great read.
Great. And I understand that it, the author was on with Veronica Rickert on Friday. So you can
great.
Probably download it at our WPR site too. All right. Thanks, Reed, very much for your call. William in Milwaukee is next. Hi, William.
Hi. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Very, very good.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in. I happen to be the owner of the Hudson Business Lounge.
Hi, William.
Hi.
Yeah, which is one of the spaces on the tour this week. And wanted to highlight what I thought was kind of interesting about Milwaukee is that the idea of innovation and startups seem to normally go hand in hand. But at the Hudson, one of the things that we're trying to do is to show that in addition to startups, there's thousands and thousands of small businesses that are existing, maybe have been in business for even like years, but have been working in isolation, maybe in their own homes or out of Starbucks. And what we're trying to do at Hudson is bring those people together in a collaborative environment for a very affordable price, very, very, very affordable. And our hope when we open in August will be to not just have startups and creatives, but to have a more diverse group. And it's so exciting. We currently have about 200 members pre-signed up.
Oh, my gosh.
And everybody from attorneys to doctors to web developers. We have two priests. We have a police officer. We have some landscape companies. I mean, it's amazing. And what I've read in the past, I've been researching for about 4 years on our opening, is that true innovation can often come from people from diverse backgrounds meeting, and that's mm-hmm. really what we're set up for.
And tell me more about Wisconsin or about Hudson Business Lounge. What do you do?
At Hudson Business Lounge, it's an 11,000 square foot space, and we've got we're under construction right now. We'll open, like I said, in August, and 9,000 square feet of it is an open concept workspace that has collaboration areas, private offices, conference rooms, everything's state-of-the-art. We've got high-definition video, high-speed internet. You can have a mailbox there, so you can actually register your location as a Google Space with us. And you can have a professional phone line if you want there that you can actually take with you if you decide to move on from Hudson. You can port that number with you. We can actually have a concept called Business in a Box that we can have you set up with a website, a phone number, business card.
Wonderful.
Almost immediately.
Wonderful. And what prompted you to do all of this? What sparked your imagination?
I've just been watching over the years, and I've been a freelancer on and off, and I've been involved in interior design, and just seeing the isolation of people in various environments, and I felt that there has to be a better way to, you know, instead of everybody working alone, they need to have an opportunity to connect with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And on Friday night, you can see Hudson and a lot of the other co-working spaces for free. Just sign up, and there will be a shuttle taking people around, and there will be a great, you know, three-hour period to go and visit all these different co-working spaces. And so that's great that you called in, William, to highlight what's going on that night.
Yeah, that's
great,
wonderful.
Great community here.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Just put in some beds and make it a whole little town, right?
So we actually do have an espresso wine bar as part of it. That's the fun part.
That sounds great.
Okay.
More power to you. It sounds terrific.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. I mean, what he said is so important, that people have these ideas in isolation, and to be able to provide what he's talking about is really a terrific thing.
It is. You know, one thing I would like to mention is that Mike actually started off because of a group of foundations placing a real bet on Milwaukee. Art Place America is a new kind of fund of funds that came together with 13 large foundations across the country, as well as NEA. and decided in their first round, we were invited to participate in their first round of funding and received $500,000 to launch Mike. And it's all about creative placemaking and bringing together these sectors of design and technology and art to recreate your community. So I wanted to put the plug in for Art Place because we wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah. Thanks, William, so much. I hope you have a big crowd. It sounds wonderful. I'd like to see it. The whole idea last year of opening spaces in Milwaukee, too, what was the name of that program?
Creativity Works.
Where they opened up all the Northwestern Mutual and
the
all
doors.
The
doors.
The Doors Project,
yeah.
Which was also a terrific idea, and it had all of these hundreds and hundreds of people attended and saw the insides of buildings. This is along the same lines. I mean, it's bringing people to be able to fulfill their dreams, but who even knew that there were going to be places like what William was talking
right.
about in Milwaukee?
Well, and again, this is because of some of this young talent that's gotten ideas that are fearless in
right.
making them happen. We did take a group of people to Brooklyn, about, I think, 12 or 15.
Oh, really?
Angela was
mm-hmm.
among us. And
oh.
we had every people from age 80 to, like, 25, I yep. think, in the group. But we went to see Common Pitch there, but also to see the co-working spaces because it's such a new concept. And there's not even a lot here in the Midwest. I think Chicago's just now getting into co-working spaces. So we're really kind of ahead of the curve. But it's cool that we have all these spaces here.
That was actually my favorite part about that experience is I went ready to be humbled by what was in New York and the co-working spaces because I have had a startup business for the last couple of years and we have worked in and around this space. And I'm knowledgeable of the different opportunities that are here. But I was blown away by how average the things were in New York compared to here. It really was amazing that we have it already here, and it's simply a matter of telling people that this is a fact. We're not making this story or spinning the story out of thin air. It's already a tangible asset.
I can tell. It's here. Here it is. Now, give us a rundown of all that's going on this week. Give us a flavor of the events.
Perfect. Well, tomorrow night at Open Mic is the Battle of the Brands, which is the college and high school pitch, and the winners of that will be able to participate on Thursday night at the Common Pitch at Turner Hall from 6 to 9 p.m. Right before that, there's an interesting thing happening. There is a local tech startup called Leave Your Mark that will allow over 150 participants to use their mobile devices to check in to their location, and the result will be a work of digital art across the map of Milwaukee.
Aww,
cool.
So that'll be the
kickoff
for the night. And there'll be an after party at Turner Hall as well, which will feature two local bands, Mars Argo and Fresh Cut Collective, as well as the National Touring Act Gold Motel. And we have Art Milwaukee being infused into the event. We have about 14 different artists that'll be creating art live as well during the after party. So it should be 6-hour period of a real exhibition of our innovation, our talent, our culture, our music. So if you're interested, come on down. You can buy tickets at commonpitchmke.com. Friday, as William said, we'll have this collaborative workshop tour, and we'll be showcasing 7 of the different co-working spaces across a variety of different genres. That's a free event. There will be shuttles running every 20 minutes from the stops, so you don't necessarily need to drive around or even walk around. You can just hop on a bus and go see those. Saturday is the Kohl's Idea Challenge at Open Mic in the Grand Avenue Mall, and Kohl's is putting up a pretty substantial amount of money and the opportunity to pitch your new idea for a mobile experience surrounding the Kohl's brand. And it'll be selected, and then there's an opportunity to have it even be implemented at Kohl's eventually. So it's a very interesting way to integrate a corporate brand into this sort of innovative space.
And it's also linked up with teams in New York
yep.
and Chicago.
Huh. Exactly. That idea challenge will be happening across the country simultaneously. And then that evening there'll be libation innovation at the Miller Coors Historic Stables. And Monday, the whole thing will be rounded out by a presentation by VG, who's the former chief innovation strategist for GE Healthcare at the Pfister Hotel, the keynote breakfast and presentation.
All right. Well, have a marvelously successful event. It's just such a neat idea. Congratulations to both of you. And it's something that I didn't even know really was going on, all of this. It's good to know about it. It's really good to know about it.
Well, come over to the mall sometime. We'll give you a tour.
Exactly. I will. Okay. I will. I get food over there sometimes.
Yeah.
I may as well come and visit all of you. Be happy to go over the mall and visit you. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for the idea for future shows as well, which we have written down during the course of this hour. All right. Well, you heard all about it and partake of some of the events. Let us know how they are. Milwaukee Innovation Week beginning tomorrow. And we thank Julia Taylor, president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee, and Angela Damiani, who's vice president of Art Milwaukee, for spending this hour with us in beautiful downtown Milwaukee talking about all that is going on. Again, the best place to go is innovationinmilwaukee.com to get a complete rundown of all the events that are taking place. Thanks to Brett Jaspers for this really interesting program, and thanks to Brett Jaspers for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. We're just a few reminders that I want to tell you about our election coverage. Again, it's tonight starting at 8 o'clock, and it's very good. I've worked here for almost 20 years, and I can count on it. It's always good because of the people who put it together. And then tomorrow on Joy Cardine's show, 3 hours of analysis of what happens in Wisconsin today. We will spend the first hour of our program talking about election that's taking place today. And go to wisconsinvote.org if you're looking for your polling place or want to read blogs. A lot of people do that on election day. It's a good site. All right, news coming up, and then Frank DeFord here on the Ideas Network.